Good morning. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 10. Verses 1, 3 to 10. 2 Corinthians. Now we begin this morning with the Apostle Paul. After the opening salutation, he is expressing thankfulness to God, and he calls him, you know, God has many names in the Scriptures, and this designation this morning is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Let's read. Paul says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us," or comforteth us, "in all of our tribulation," all of our troubles, "that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," or increase in us or in our lives, "so our consolation," or our comfort, "also abounds by Christ," or increases. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer." It is for your consolation, or I'm sorry, "or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." So whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Basically, Paul says we were convinced that we were going to die. That's how bad these troubles were. "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver." So you see that? Past deliverance, present deliverance, and in verse 10, we're confident that he will deliver us. So we see God's deliverance here. So we'll stop right there and pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings and that you would help us in this passage, Father, to see, Father, what you would teach us about the Father of mercies, about you, our Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Lord, I pray that we would have sown into our hearts, Father, that precious word that is able to help us in our Christian lives. Lord, we pray for the lost as well, that you would save the lost among us, Lord, that it would be to your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, between the writing of 1 and 2 Corinthians, between the 1st and 2nd letter, Paul had undoubtedly gone through some very tough trials. It doesn't say specifically which one. It doesn't seem to be one specific trial or trouble, but it seems to have been many trials. It seems to be a wave and a swell of troubles that came all at once to Paul. Now, he does say that it happened in Asia. He said, "I would not have you ignorant of the trouble that we came into in Asia," and that's in verse 8, he says that. He says they were pressed beyond measure. You ever been there? Pressed beyond measure, above strength. He was at the very point where he was going to break. If you've ever been at a point like that, spiritually or mentally, where you feel like you are at your end, and all you can do, brethren, in those times is to cry out to God. And this is what Paul's saying here. He says, "I want to tell you about the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted me," us, because he's talking about his companions. "He comforted us in all our tribulations." And it's God's design. So, listen, the Christian life in Paul's day was like this for anyone who openly professed faith in Christ. We don't really know what that's like in America. Maybe a little bit we know what it's like. If you go out there and witness the gospel of Christ every opportunity you get, then you're going to get pressed, but not like this. They would kill Christians in Paul's day. They would kill preachers of the gospel. All you have to do is go back to the book of Acts and see what they did. All you have to do is go back to the time of Christ when they tried to ram him off of a hill and he had to escape out of their presence. But in Paul's time, it didn't matter whether you were apostle or Christian or preacher or pastor. If you publicly identified as a believer in the resurrected Christ, you were in the crosshairs. They were going to come after you. Now, Satan was behind all of this. And Satan has, since Genesis 4, when he put the crosshairs on Abel through Cain, he has put the crosshairs on any righteous person, any believer of Jesus Christ. You can read 1 John 3 and see that. And know this, as far as Paul, because he talks about the troubles that he and his companions came into, the servants of Christ, the leaders, Satan is going to concentrate his heaviest fire on the leaders. Here, the apostles, the preachers, the pastors. That's what he's going to do. That's where the heavy artillery is going to come. But don't despair, Christian. Well, I shouldn't put it like that, but he's going to come after you too. You live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. He's going to go after you. He walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 4. Let me just back this up with a little passage from Paul here, where he said in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Now, listen to his trust in the Lord here. "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken." Yes, they persecute us, but God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. "We're cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus." Why? "That the life also of Christ might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." So you see God's design. You can see God's design. "So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Turn back to Acts 14:19. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. The scripture here of Paul actually being stoned for preaching the gospel and surviving the stoning. And you think of this and you come back to Paul saying, "We were pressed out of measure. We were at the point of death." Look what Paul says. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having," basically against Paul, "and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." They stoned him, dragged him out of the city, and threw him in the field outside the city. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him," and I'm sure the implication is they prayed for him, "he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And he stopped preaching." He said, "That's it, I'm not doing that anymore." No, it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch," where those guys came from. What did they do? "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith." Continue in the faith. Now, picture Paul. He's got bruises all over him. He's probably scratched up. He's probably a sight. Preaching the gospel. "Continue in the faith, and that we," us and you, "must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." And so you get an idea. The Word of God gives us a little peek, but it's hard to enter into living in that time and in that culture. So Paul in 2 Corinthians, he begins by teaching us one of God's designs for all of the troubles that he, Timothy, Titus, and the other apostles endured in their ministry in that time. And this is one of the reasons. Now, at this point, James Zebedee has already had his head cut off. James is gone. And this happened already. So Satan is afoot, brethren. But these are the troubles they came in with their ministry. Now, this is one of the reasons and one of the whys all of these things happen to them. And I want to bring this practically to you. Why do we go through these troubles for associating with Christ? Why do people attack us? Well, we know that the Lord Jesus already, he told us that this was going to happen. And we go through these things. The design in 2 Corinthians here is that we, you, us, Christians, may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So he says, he comforts us in all our tribulations. Why? So that we may be able to comfort others. So God intends to use you in that way, child of God. Now listen, we already know that life in this world for the Christian is full of troubles. A myriad of troubles, different types of troubles. Attacks from the world, attacks from Satan in the mind, spiritual troubles. So we already know that life is full of troubles for those that believe in Christ in this world. Jesus told us that it's going to be that way. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So that's the key, is to keep our faith directed toward Christ. He says, in the world, as long as you live in the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So this is the Christian life. It doesn't come any other way. You can't take a different slice and say, well, I don't want that part of it. Well, that's part of it, brethren. The Christian life in the world without trouble for identifying with Christ is not the Christian life. It's just not. Who is the God of this world? It's Satan. Satan's the same one that hates the righteous. The difference between the children of Christ and the children of Satan, 1 John chapter 3. And this is manifest, the children of Christ and the children of Satan. The children of Satan, they hate Christ. They hate those that are righteous, like Cain hated Abel. And so that's the way it's going to be. In the world, you shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation, Christian. Those things accompany being personally identified with Christ. But as we shall see today, Lord willing, if you direct your faith Godward, in all your tribulations, you shall have comfort and you will be made useful to the kingdom of Christ. It's God's design. In your Christian life, God should be many things to you. He should be known by many names from the scriptures. He should be known by those names for the bolstering of your faith. He should be for you a myriad of reasons to trust him. A myriad of reasons God should be for you from his word to trust him in how he reveals himself to you in his holy word. God reveals himself in different ways. Just a few. He should be to you the God of your salvation. He's the God of my salvation. He should be your heavenly Father whose throne of grace you often approach. God should be that to you, your heavenly Father. He should be the God of your strength. He should be the God of your strength. He should be the God in whom your armor is, the armor of God. He should be your shield from the world. He should be the God of your life and the God who supplies your every need, spiritually and physically. And finally, here in 2 Corinthians, in all your troubles, he should be to you the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies. Now notice, Father. Patrick just read in Romans chapter 8, we have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Father. He's endeared to us as a father. We are his sons and daughters, brethren. So God comforts you, Christian, in all your tribulations that you endure, so that you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's why one of the designs of your tribulations, your troubles in Christ. Now note what Paul wrote here. God comforted him in all his tribulations. But how often do we pray, beloved, that our tribulations and sufferings be removed from our lives? I don't want this. Please, Lord, take it away. I don't want to be comforted in my troubles. I want my troubles to be gone. See, that's the natural bent of the natural man. We don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to endure these troubles. I want my Christian life to be smooth sailing, no trials, no afflictions, no troubles, and then I'll walk by faith. I'll be a good Christian. I'll be devoted. No, you won't. You won't. Because in fair winds and following seas, your faith will wane. Why do you need God in that sense? See, that's a complete wrong view of the Christian life. There is no faith toward Christ in a life like that. There is no faith toward Christ in a life like that. And listen, let me just say this. Life is hard for every human. Life is hard for every human in the world, lost or saved. But there's no comfort to the lost. Many times the lost suffer for their own sin. Sometimes not, but still, if they're lost, there's no comfort. They don't know the Father of mercies. But Christian, we have a comfort. There's going to be trouble in your life whether you're lost or saved. The trouble shifts when God saves you. Now you identify with Christ. Now the world hates you. Why? Because Jesus says, because it hated me. Why? Because you expose their sin. You tell them that they need to be saved. You tell them to turn from their sins to Christ, which is what they need to hear. It's good for them. It's the love of Christ coming forth from you, telling them, listen, you need to turn from your sins to Christ. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then he'll be your comfort in all your troubles. There's a fake gospel out there that say, oh, believe in Christ and all your troubles will disappear. No, 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 no. No, you'll still have them. But there'll be troubles of a different sort. You're still going to reap what you've sown. If you sinned upon sin in your early life, you're going to still reap from those sins. But the reaping of that will wane, and God will give you troubles now to draw you to himself. Your troubles will be for there. You're actually made a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. You suffer like he did. And so now, by association, you suffer. And the wise man said, listen, Christian, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And listen, I'll confess to you, my strength has been small many a day. It's been small many a day. But let me pass on from this just to show you something. Listen, you should know, and I want to talk about your salvation for a moment as being a gift, but I'm going to tell you that something else is a gift as well. Listen, you should know that your salvation is a gift from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, your salvation, is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man or woman should boast. So it's a gift from God. The gift of eternal life was purchased and paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ on his cross, suffered and died for the sins of the world, the scripture says. So your salvation was given unto you in the behalf of Christ. Given unto you. It doesn't mean you sit there and wait for it. No, turn from your sins to Christ. But did you know that your sufferings are also a gift? See, you're saved. That is given to you as a gift. But your sufferings are also a gift from God. All your tribulations which you endure in this life are given to you from God. You say, what kind of gift is that? It's a gracious gift. It's an honor. Think about this. Now listen, you got to put the spiritual mind on. It is an honor. It is a privilege graciously bestowed upon you by God that you would be so honored to be to enter into the sufferings of Christ, to suffer as he did. The Father so honors you in that way. Philippians, look at Philippians 1:27. It is an honor. It is a gift. It is an honor. It is a privilege that we be associated with our Lord in such a manner. Verse 27 of Philippians 1, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Keep in mind, Paul speaking this from behind bars. Don't be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you, Christian, it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but it is also given to you to suffer for his sake. To suffer for his sake. Now you want to see this in real time? Go to Acts chapter, maybe not real time, but Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. The book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. After Gamaliel told the Sanhedrin, the chief priests and the Pharisees, you better leave those guys alone. They were in jail and they got out and they preached again. The apostles did. Peter and John. It was after the lame man was healed, and they threatened him. Gamaliel said, you better leave those guys alone. If they're fakes, it'll go away. But if they're real, you'd be fighting against God. And you could tell they didn't take Gamaliel very seriously because they beat the apostles. And then let them go. Look at that. But look at the apostles, verse 41. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Counted worthy. It's an honor to be shamed for the name of Christ. Peter talks about this. He says, if you suffer for your faults, that's no glory. In fact, turn there, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter 4, 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Listen, if you live Christianity out there, it's going to come. If you live Christianity out there, if you speak Christ out there, you'll get persecuted sometimes for what you don't say. Just how you live. Just from refraining from something. Look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange. 4:12 of 1 Peter. Concerning the fiery trial. which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory, notice, and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Then he goes on to say, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, busybody, and other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So let us not be ashamed. It's an honor. Look at Romans 5, one more. Romans 5 and verse 1, the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace of being at peace with God, wherein this grace, wherein he says we stand, we're on firm footing. And now he talks about rejoicing in two things. The second word is joy. But he says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You should rejoice in the God of your salvation, in that you are saved. But Paul says, we don't only glory or rejoice in that. Notice, and not only so, but we glory, or it means we rejoice in tribulations also. That's the Christian life, brethren. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Look, here's the design. It's another design of our troubles. It worketh patience in you. Patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope. I know work's not there, but it's implied. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the agape is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So your troubles which you endure as a Christian are not a curse, brethren. They are a blessing bestowed upon you as a gift of God. You have the honor bestowed upon you as a professing Christian to be honored with the sufferings of Christ. To be so associated, it is an honor. It's a gift of God that you are partakers of his sufferings. Philippians 3:10, you know this passage. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, Paul says. Look at verse 8. Well, verse 7, he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Paul talks about the things that he used to put great value on. His college degree, his master's of divinity, his PhD, that he was trained by the chief Pharisee. He says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but rubbish, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and that I may share in the fellowship. It's what it means, that I may share in his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may be made like him, conformable to him. So God's design here, brethren, in all your tribulations and sufferings, is that God's design in all your tribulations, your sufferings, your afflictions for Christ's sake is that you might be serviceable, that you might be useful to Christ and his kingdom, that you would be an instrument of comfort for the benefit of your suffering brethren, that you might be an instrument. You might say, what can I do? This is what you can do. Adam Clark had an excellent quote. I can't recall it precisely, but he said something like this. If a preacher's experience is only from study, and he's not tested by troubles and tribulations and afflictions, then he's basically, how can he comfort anyone? And I'm not doing justice to that quote, but anyway. Beloved, this is should be us. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in due season to him that is weary, to him that is hurting, to him that is faint. You ought to be able to talk to people. You ought to be able to comfort them in the scriptures. You ought to be able to say, look, he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us, Paul said, in all our tribulations. The design here, that you may be able to comfort them in their troubles. In your sufferings and in the comforts that you have received from God, he is strengthening you. He is equipping you to be useful, to be a useful vessel for his honor and for his glory, for his people and for his church. Paul experienced many sufferings and trials that tested his faith in Christ. Same thing will happen to you and I. But he also experienced many comforts and consolations from those troubles that bolstered his faith in Christ. See, your trials and your troubles are not designed to dash your faith and move you to run from your faith and to run from the Word of God and to run away from prayer. No, they are designed to make you to run after and run toward God. They're designed to build you up in your most holy faith in the Lord. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Do you see that? Not delivers you. That's not saying that he won't deliver you at times. That's left up to the will of God. But he comforts us that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ. This reminds me of where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where troubles come, comfort comes from God. It abounds as well. As our sufferings abound and increase, beloved, so our consolations, our comforts from Christ abound and increased as well. In all of what you suffer, Christian, know that God is discovering his faith in you. He's discovering his faith in you. Not so that he would see it and say, look, there's my faith that I gave to my servant, but that you would see it. So that you would be strengthened and comforted by God, so that you might discover it to other fellow believers. He's discovering it in you, beloved, so that you would discover it to others, that you would be a helper of their faith, that you might be an encouragement and a comfort for them in their time of troubles. From this, I pray that you would get God intends to use you, Christian, as an instrument of comfort and encouragement to other Christians. Verse 6, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, Paul says. So it's for your benefit if we are afflicted, Paul says. If we are comforted, it's also for your benefit. Whether in afflictions, whether in troubles, whether in sufferings, whether in comforts, whether in consolations, Paul says they're all designed for the strengthening of your faith in Christ. That's what they're designed for. And in verse 8, verse 7, Paul encouraged them here. He says, our hope is steadfast of you. He bolsters them. He says, I have confidence that you're going to do this. Our hope is steadfast of you, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Knowing that they would be partakers of Christ's sufferings, so they would also be partakers of Christ's comforts. And it would be to his honor and glory. Our hope is steadfast of you. My hope is steadfast of you, brethren. That you will use the experiences of what you've suffered for the sake of Christ. Because remember, it's given unto you not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. Why? So that you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, like you were, by the comfort wherewith you yourselves are comforted of God. Your comfort should be used. Listen, that's how the church works. You may say, what can I do with just little bitty me? What can I do? It kind of reminds me of what the apostles told the Lord Jesus when he said, feed the 5,000. And they said, all we have is a few little fishes and a few pieces of bread. What are they among so many? Well, you know. And so, brethren, don't ever think that you have too little to offer Christ in your own personal life. God intends to use you. He doesn't intend for you to not be used at all for him. He intends to use you. Remember, Christian, in all of your tribulations, in all of your sufferings that you endure, God is equipping you to be used for his kingdom and for his glory. But remember, if you would partake of Christ's comforts, you must first partake of his sufferings. You must enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. You run from it. You don't want anything to do with it. You faint. Well, you'll never know the comforts. And the comforts are good, brethren. Listen, remember this, and I'll close. It is God which worketh in you, Philippians 1:6 says, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God has his design for your life, beloved. This is one of them. This is one of them. So you want to know why the troubles come? Because you're a Christian. You want to know why things happen to you? Because you identify with Christ. This is why. One of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of them. But remember, beloved, we have a God of all mercy, a Father of mercy, rather, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. And he doesn't comfort us in some, but all. And what that means is the tribulation may continue, the trouble may continue, but his comfort will abound. It will comfort you in that tribulation. It's kind of like Paul's thorn in the flesh. I besought the Lord 3 times to take it away. And what did God say? No, you're better with it. You're better with the trial. And listen, Christian, if you learn this on your face before God in prayer, you'll learn that you're better with the trial too. Because God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. With that thorn in the flesh, with that affliction, with that trial, it'll make you better. The worst thing for you, Christian, is to have fair winds and following seas. Smooth sailing. It's the worst thing for you. That's what the flesh wants. But if you get too much of that, faith will wane. Let's pray, brethren, and pray for each other. Pray that God would help us with this. Help me with this as we continue to trek on in our Christian lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word. I thank you Father, for your encouragement to my soul. I thank you for how you have comforted me in my times of trouble. I pray that you would use me. I pray that you would use these, my brethren. I know that they've had these experiences. And Father, we know that you intend to use every one of your children, Father, that they might be so honored to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of Christ, children of God. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help us. Father, help us to be faithful witnesses for Christ. Help us to not be ashamed for being associated with Christ. Lord, strengthen us, build us up upon our most holy faith. Lord, I pray for these sweet brethren, even for this evening, as Kim and I will travel off, and pray for Brother Randy as he brings forth the word. Lord, I pray that you would speak, and that it would once again be a good time to be in the presence of God. Lord, may we count it a joy to enter into your courts, and Father, to sit and hear thy word. Not me, Father, but your word. Help us as we go to our homes. Save those that are lost, Father. I pray that you would speak. Lord, we can preach, we can plant the seed, but you must give the increase. Help us now, we ask, in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.